pour testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks within you. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father to the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your mercy and your grace, Lord. The way you spoke to us today, Lord, and comfort our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, God, for you're with us always in this world, Lord. Lord, you are our guide, our helper, our teacher each day, Lord. We just want to lean on you, Lord. Trust you, God. Here it's talking about some trials that will come our way. You know, things aren't always going to be so rosy in this world. Some people think when they become a Christian, everything's going to go smooth sailing from then. And it doesn't take very long before we find out different. If you've been a Christian very long, you know there's going to be plenty of trials come your way. And I get to looking at our country right now, the mess it's in and all the things that's going on, and it grieves my heart. And many of the people have turned their back on God. They've forgot about God. And I was reading a book just before I got to church tonight. I've read it before, and I was just reading here and there parts of it. It's talking about the Harbingers, the title of it, and it's written by Jonathan Cain, C-A-H-N. And it's a really good book. I would recommend any of you get it and read it. And it's just talking about how God's bringing judgments and bringing warnings to our country, trying to get America to turn their back to God. And one of the things it talked about in there with the breach of our protection, when we were under God's hand and he was blessing our country and he was watching over us, he put a hedge of protection about us. And when the Twin Towers fell in New York, that hedge was removed and it allowed the enemy to come in, and they brought destruction in. And it was just a little bit of what God's judgment is going to be if America keeps going the direction they're going. And he's trying to get our attention. He doesn't want to bring judgment. He loves us. He wants the best for us. It's like he said to each of us. He said he wants to bless us even as our soul prospers. You know, when we're right with God and even our country, you know, if they would repent and turn back to God. I know God's always got a remnant of people. Any country you can go to in the world, he's got believers there. And many here tonight, I'm sure, loves the Lord. They want to serve him with all their heart and do the best they can for him. But there's people in our country that's just gone the opposite direction. And if they continue that way, God can't keep blessing our nation if it continues in that path. And so my heart is grieved for what is going on. And anyway, you know, all the liberals, the Antichrist spirit, the abortion and things like that, we got to turn our heart back to God. And he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it says, the sheep, you know, they have no way of protecting themselves. They need that shepherd's protection. And we, the same, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. He watches over us. And we got to lean on him for our help and our safety. And we can't protect our own selves. And he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. And we see out in California right now some of the things going on in the government, you know, trying to shut down churches and things. And, you know, it's not God's will, I'm sure. He wants his church to prosper, and, you know, he wants people to reach out to others. And not everyone's excited about Jesus. They don't want Jesus in your heart either. They want to discourage you and try to drive you away from him. But God is with us. He's for us. He spoke to us this morning about how we are redeemed, His people. He wants us to be a voice for Him. And it's my heart's desire is to speak out for Him and stand for Him, no matter what the cost. And I don't think it's going to be much longer before He comes, takes His people home. But what we're going to do, we're going to have to do quickly. You know, He's got a plan. And we don't know the exact hour nor day, but we know it's getting near. You can look around and see the things going on around us. And it doesn't take a very smart person to figure out, you know, our world's in desperate shape. Without Jesus, we have no hope. In 1 Peter 1 and 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And Pastor was just speaking a minute ago, and I've heard it in the songs. Lindsay was speaking about it, lively hope. It's a hope that's in our hearts. It doesn't go away. We know no matter what comes our way, God's there with us, and He's going to take us through. And He's already abundantly blessed us with mercy and forgiveness. You know, I know in my own life I've failed Him so many times, but I have no reason for Him to continue to bless me, but He has. He's forgiven me, and He's asked me, you know, to preach His word, and that's my heart's desire to uplift Him. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If Christ had not come out of that tomb, if He had not rose after that third day, our hopes would be obliterated. You know, we would, as a Christian, we have no hope. It's because He came alive after that third day, rose again. He was the first fruits, and we also can look forward to the same thing. You know, when we give up this old body that we live in and we go to the grave, or whether He takes us in the air, we know where we're going. He's given us a hope that we can have eternal life with Him. It says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And, you know, most places that are really high class, up, you know, they have to have reservations to get in. You know, they don't want you just anyone wander in there dressed any old way. You got to have a special class of people coming, and that's the way heaven is. He's not just going to let anyone in. They're going to have that robe of righteousness which the Lord gives us. When He cleans us up, He makes us pure, able to come into the Father's presence. And we got a reservation in heaven. And no man knows the day when he's going. You know, it may be tomorrow for me. I may be going down the road and going a car wreck, or maybe years down the road. We don't know. But we got to be ready, because in an instant, things can change. It says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So we are kept by God through faith unto salvation. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we got to have that faith, and we'll make it to heaven by faith. Everything we get requires faith from God, whether it be salvation, the Holy Spirit, many blessings He gives us. You know, He blesses us just because sometimes. But if we ask for something, we got to believe that He's going to give it to us. We can't ask doubting. We got to ask in faith. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." And there's going to be trials come our way. The Bible tells us, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome." And we can too, through our Lord and His help. It says, "But the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And this reminds me of one of the songs Lindsay was singing this morning. It talked about praise, honor, and glory. And it brought this scripture to my mind. And it says, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have to wait till we get to the other side to rejoice. We can be happy here and just know in our hearts what is awaiting us. And even though we go through some hard trials here and looks like things are impossible at times, looks like there's no way, God's going to make a way. He's going to help us through. Just like those disciples out there in the middle of that sea, they thought they were going to perish, but they looked to the Lord, and instantly he changed things. He turned it all around. It says, receiving the end of your faith, even salvation of your soul. That is what we are all striving for, to make heaven our home and take others with us. And I want to take as many as I can. And Sister Pepper was recently asking, you know, how many, when they were young, they went to the vacation Bible schools. And I was one of them when I was approximately 9 or 10. Guy come around town walking on foot, and he was inviting people to church. And excuse me. But it did. Went to that vacation Bible school, and, you know, had the little crafts we made and things. You know, it was fun for a little kid and something new and interesting. And they taught you about the Lord, and ended up giving my heart to the Lord. And it's been 52 years ago.
Praise God.
There's seed planted there. But I thank the Lord for his mercy. And I don't want to quit serving him. I'm just thankful for his love. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 5 and I think it's 9. I can't remember. It's 9 or 7. I can't read my writing here. Romans 5 and 7 says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also join God to our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Praise God. Wherefore, as by one man sinned in sin entered into the world by death, by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men, all have sinned. In verse 17 says, for if any man, if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for the work that God did on Calvary, when he was willing to lay down his life, even for the sinner. When we were yet in sin, we were going our own way, doing our own thing, didn't know anything about God. We didn't care about pleasing him. Many thumb their nose at him, and they make fun of him. Later, sometimes some have their hearts changed, and it's a whole new world opened up to them. They realize how foolish they were, how their minds were blinded. We know it talks about, I think it's, I'm not going to be able to quote it. I think it's in I'm not even going to try. But we know where it says the devil has our minds blinded. And it's not until we come to know Jesus and he comes into our heart, he makes a new creature out of us, we realize, you know, how things had completely turned around, how we were blinded to the truth. And Jesus is that truth. He is the way. He makes a way for each and every one of us. And I'm thankful even for the whole world, even since the Garden of Eden, when sin came in, and all down through time, Christ was concerned about finding a way to redeem us, to bring us back to him, each and every one. He says he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants us all to be saved. He won't force himself upon us. We have a free will, and he's not going to override that. But yet, anyone that wants him, they can have him. And he'll come in. But if we reject him, he'll reject us. But, you know, he still keeps pulling on our hearts. He's been doing it for many centuries, you know, coming to man and pulling on their hearts, asking them, you know, to surrender to him. 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. Says, for if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Sounds like I've heard that this morning too. And, you know, Paul, he said, you know, if we only in this life we have hope, when we leave this life and we're in trouble, there's a long span of time after we leave this life. It's just a vapor, just a short time, and then our life is over, but eternity keeps a rolling. Thank the Lord that he made a way that we can be in a beautiful place, a place of peace, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, all that passing from loved ones. It's all a thing of the past. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And it says, verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And Jesus was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he gives us the victory. Also, when we come to him, he says, he that hath Jesus has eternal life. Those that don't have him, you can't have it without him. He is the only way that we can find the salvation we need and redemption. Romans 8 and 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So even though we haven't seen Christ, we love him. You know, he is my Lord, my Savior, and I'm so thankful for him. And each of you all that have come to know him, you know, you haven't seen him yet, but there's coming a day we will. And Thomas, they called him Doubting Thomas. He said, unless I see, you know, I won't believe. But when the other disciples told him about the resurrection of Christ, he says, I won't believe until I see it. And then shortly after, the Lord walked into the room there where he was, and he believed. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. So we are that blessed people, even though we haven't seen him. We believe his word. We believe he's called us to his kingdom. And I'm thankful that he gives us that opportunity to be a part of it. In Revelations 21 and 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I'm thankful that the Lord made such a beautiful place for us. You know, different ones, we took up prayer requests. I know different ones are hurting. Sister April's neck kind of stiff and sore. Mine was bothering me this morning. It's doing fine now. But, you know, pain, it's not fun. You know, Sister Ellen had an earache this morning. Yes, she's faithful to come to church, and the Lord blessed her. But we won't have to endure all those kind of things when we get over there. There's no more death, no more sorrow. There's not going to be a bunch of rioters tearing things up. There's not going to be people stealing or doing any kind of harm to us. You know, we don't have to worry about the devil. He's going to be put in his place in a lake of fire. And those that don't believe and rebel against God, they'll be there with him. But it was their choice that put them there. It wasn't the Lord. They're rebelling against God. And anyway, it's going to be a great reunion day. I'll get to see my dad, my grandpa, and a lot of relatives, you know, that passed on, uncles I'd like to see again, and, you know, friends I went to church with, many of the veterans, you know, I've only got to know them a short time, but we had a good time together in church, and they went on to be with the Lord. It's going to be a fun time. And, you know, some people say all good things must come to an end. Not that. You know, heaven's going to be forever. And Jesus is forever. He's eternal. His love for us is eternal. And I thank the Lord, you know, anyone that wants to go can go. He's made it available to anyone. It says, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If your name's not in that book, I would recommend you get it put there soon. No, he's coming soon. We need to get in a hurry and you be ready. We don't know when the Lord deals with your heart. That's the time to respond. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. The enemy would love that. I'm sure there's people in hell would just love one more chance, you know, to turn to the Lord. They would jump on the opportunity. But we have that freedom in our country. Still, we have a freedom. We can come together and worship the Lord. Many places don't. And, you know, they got to sneak around and be real careful. It could cost them their life. And anyway, I just thank the Lord. He gives us that hope for the future, and we got hope today. You know, we can lean on the Lord. He's there to help us, and he's not going to turn anyone away that wants him. If we'll just call on his name, he'll be there for us. Turn to you, Pastor.